Did you know that you were created to carry miracles? I really want you to hear that. That's the title of my message. You were created to carry miracles. And I think it's time that we come back and revisit the greatest miracle of all, the birth of Jesus Christ. And last week, I asked you to read Luke 1 this week. You don't have to just retweet. I love Jeff Willard. He is my disciple. He does what I ask him to do. I love that. I hope you read it. I probably read it 10 times, 15 times this week. I'm going to keep reading it because it's about a story of a man who forgot about miracles and a story about a young girl that's between 14 and 16, according to church history, Mary, who knew that she was created to carry miracles. I encourage you to read it and read it and read it this week and allow the Holy Spirit to examine your life. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 1:37. I'm going to share this scripture and then we're going to kind of tear it apart both ways real quickly. If you will, I want to invite you to stand up. And if you have a Bible on your app, that's more than fine. I'm like Bill Johnson. I hear him say, they need to create an app that sounds like pages are turning. I love that. I want to invite you because I want us to start honoring the Word more. Because even though this Bible is written pages, it represents the Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ. And as I shared last week, one of the words that I feel God has spoken to me for 2012. Shirley, it's okay if you stay seated. You have a grandbaby. It's okay. Is the Word. It's time to get back to it. And I'm just going to read Luke 1:37. For nothing is impossible with God. I'm going to say it again. Remember last week I preached about revelation. We don't need information here if we're going to carry miracles. We need the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge that there's nothing impossible with our God. Look at your neighbor and tell them, there's nothing impossible with our God. There's nothing impossible with your God. Come on, say it like you mean it. I guarantee you tonight I'm going to be cheering for the Cowboys. I'm going to mean they're going to win. Okay? All right. Well, Father, we thank you that there is nothing impossible with you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would dig deep in our hearts, Lord, and remove those obstacles that are keeping us from knowing that we were created to carry miracles. Just like yesterday, a young lady found out through a miracle of who Randa is, of who you've created her to be, Lord, that there's hope for her. So, Lord, we love you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You give her the mic one time and she tries to shout me down. You may be seated. The basis of our passage is that there's nothing impossible with God. And so the beginning of this story is the story of Zechariah. He was a priest, and it's also this story is about the ending of the law, of the birth of John the Baptist, and the birth of grace and truth coming and kissing the earth. It's the ending of John the Baptist that was going to be about relationship with God, about me needing a priest to ask for forgiveness for me, needing a priest of sacrificing animals for my forgiveness of sins. This story, there's so much to it. And like I said, I'm going to try to stay to 15 to 20 minutes because we're going to pray again. But it's a story of where all of a sudden people can be radically abandoned to a birth of grace and truth that Christ represents. If you read this story, it talks about the lineage, because to be a priest, you had to be in the lineage line to be a priest. When you read about Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were in perfect alignment with the lineage line to be who they were. You see, the birth of Christ is saying, hey man, anybody can come and be my son and daughter and represent my life. A landscaper, a pastor, or whomever, all of our different titles, we could come and be a miracle carrier. In this story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, even though they had every T crossed and every I dotted, they came to the services in the synagogue and in Jerusalem and everything. They had lost the faith and hope for miracles. Because for years they had something of unanswered prayer in their life. It even talks about that in that day and time, you could be a priest, and if the lot didn't fall on you, you didn't get to go and burn the incense in the most holy of holy places. But in this particular year, the lot fell on Zechariah, and he got to go into the most holy place that was in the Ark of the Covenant. And it says that as he was in there, again, he follows all of the ordinances. They're blameless before God is what the scripture says. And burning incense is carrying the prayers of the saints is what it represents. You see, you and I can have a prayer life, but if something in our life has stolen the ability to believe in miracles, you can pray, you can worship. But what is in your life? Is there something in your life that is keeping you from believing in miracles? As he stands there and he's burning the incense and he's making prayers for all of Israel, he is the representative for all of that region. All of a sudden, an angel shows up on the right side, and it's Gabriel. And he shows up. Let's look and see what he says here. Let's look at verse 11. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, and this is Luke 1, in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. And Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy." Excuse me. "And gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man like the spirit of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Now that sounds like a great word, right? Many of us get great words. Some of you got great words today even. But yet you'll walk out that little door and the enemy's going to try to come back in there and start reminding you of things that you don't have and things that you've been waiting for. Now look, that's a great word. Here's what Zechariah's response is. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? For I am an old man. And my wife is also well along in her years." Remember the angel, the first thing he said, "Your prayers have been heard." What you hear of Zechariah's response, I think he hadn't prayed that prayer for 20 years. Some of us have been waiting for a miracle that we've prayed for years. And we've lost hope in that miracle. Again, what did I share about 2012 was going to be a year of renewed miracles? I believe that we all really need to search our heart. What is there something in our life that is keeping us from seeing the miracle that Christ wants to give us? Not only just one, but he's the abundant daddy who knows how to paint all of the skies with millions and billions and trillions of stars and galaxies. And if he says that he cares about that, but he cares about you much, much more, how much more do you think he wants to give you your healing and your breakthrough? You see, we allow our experiences and our circumstances and situation to define who we are in God. And we've quit believing in miracles. We've quit believing in that great marriage. We quit believing in that healing. We quit believing in that breakthrough. And we allow generational curses and waiting to define that God doesn't bring breakthroughs. I know some of you have been waiting for 20 years on things as getting to talk with you as the pastor. I know some of you have been waiting for 8 years of stuff. I want to invite you to trade up today. You see, I believe that as the angel said, let's look a little further, verse 19, then the angel said, I am Gabriel, and I have just left the presence of the living God. It is He who sent me to bring you this good news. Isn't it amazing we come and we get words like today in encouragement, good news. And right now you still carry that good news, because my prayer as a pastor is that this place would be known as a culture believing in miracles. But you see, in this time when me and other leaders are carrying that heart to build this banqueting table of miracles and to live in those miracles, you see, there's something about until you get that revelation, before you get to that your car, you can lose that good news. You see, I've got the revelation that God's going to do something awesome and cool in this house for years to come. I've got a revelation that He's going to use every one of us to take miracles out there. And that's the reason last week I preached about the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. He's a Father of glory who gives miracles. Here's my first prayer thing. Do you sit here today and you're just like Zechariah, you don't believe in miracles anymore? You don't believe in the miracle for your life? You see, as the story goes on, the angel went on to say, you know, since you didn't believe this, Zechariah, you're not going to be able to speak until this is complete. You see, some of us have lost the authority because we quit believing in God. It's not God that's given that decree over your life. But when you believe a lie or in the waiting of your circumstance for that breakthrough, you will lose the power and authority to speak and declare His goodness and greatness. In other words, let me put it this way, in a better way. You've become mute in your Christian walk. And it's because you've believed a lie that God is not good and does not care about your situation. But yet we come and we burn incense on Sundays. We come and we burn incense in our life group. We burn incense in our car, but yet when we're worshiping, but yet when we get out of our car, that thing, like I said last week, our veils that the enemy tries to put lies upon us, they have power and they whisper lies and accusations against our God. So if you've been having a hard time believing in your miracle, I want to invite you to stand. We're not going to labor. I'm going to pray a general prayer over us. You're having a hard time believing that you're a miracle carrier, and you have a hard time believing that God's going to give you the miracle that you've been praying for. Who is it? I know there's some folks in here. Zechariah had been waiting, I believe, at least 20 years. His veil had really spoke a lot of unbelief to his life. If you're next to somebody standing, I want to invite you just to lay a hand on them and agree with me that God is going to release a revelation that He's a miracle God. More than fine if you want to go lay hands on somebody. Coley, did you come in here to stand for prayer, girl? Somebody go back there and lay hands on Coley. Jason, I'm going to call you up. I want you to stand again, bro. And I want somebody to go lay hands on Jason. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we're asking that You would come and release the revelation that our Daddy, our Father of glory, would release the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of You, that You're the Daddy that brings great miracles and gifts to our lives. I ask You, Holy Spirit, that You would renew our hearts, redeem our hearts, redeem our spirits, totally new, to believe in the miracle working power of God. As this season we celebrate the birth of Christ, the greatest miracle ever released to the face of the earth, God, we're asking that you would renew in us the revelation that David declared in Psalms 103. You forgive all of our sins and heal all of our diseases. Salvation and miracles are tied together, Lord. They're that easy for us, for you. So, Holy Spirit, renew our hearts to believe in miracles. Renew our hearts, Lord, to see illnesses and sicknesses and all the other different situations healed now. And that we would believe in miracles. God, in the spirit realm today, we hit that mute button and we say they're unmuted to release true worship and declaration to the living God. They're released to proclaim that they know the miracle of Jesus Christ, Abba Daddy, and the Holy Spirit. Every veil is removed and they're unmuted today. And we all receive the revelation of miracles, the miracle of Christ, the miracle of the Father of glory, and the miracle that we've all been sealed with the identity of the Holy Spirit in us. The same power that raised you from the dead lives in us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated real quickly. 5 more minutes. Now, you know my 5 minutes always mean 10. My 15 means 25. God's dealing with me about that spirit of lie. In the next story of this, 6 months goes by, and this same angel comes knocking on a door of a little girl. To me, she's a little girl, 14 to 16 years old. And this angel shows up, and he goes, "Oh, blessed are you, you highly favored one." He releases her identity. Again, we're stepping in out of the law of what John the Baptist represented into the covenant of sons and daughters, where every one of us could draw near to the Lord through this birth of Christ that was about to hit the face of the earth. Prostitutes could be forgiven. Blind eyes, where the blind man in John 9, he says, "Man, all my resume is I was once blind, but now I see." We need to start reading the Gospels and the New Testament in the miracles of who the kingdom of God really is. And all of a sudden, as this angel goes and declares this, it says that she was kind of shaken aback, and you can read that later on in Luke. Mary asked the angel, "What is all this about?" And she goes, the angel went ahead and said, "You're going to conceive a child. And this child's going to be the Son of the living God. He's going to be great. He's going to be mighty. And all of creation can be saved through this child." I don't know about you, man. It would be hard to be computing everything that this angel is giving Mary. And sometimes it is hard to compute the things of the Spirit. And we've got to take time to what he's saying sometimes. Mary goes, "Well, how can this be? I'm a virgin." In other words, she gives him real hard facts, just like Zechariah did too, though. But I love the difference. Some of us in this house, we're like Zechariah. We've been walking with the Lord a long time. And as we prayed a while ago, we got to keep our hearts clean, to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. In other words, when we get hit by disappointment, we need to go into greater depths of worship. So many times when disappointment hits us, we go back into our caves. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more intentional you need to be in your worship and dedication to Him. You see, this is just a young girl. She doesn't know a lot of things. God gives great grace. The more that you're willing to be given in the Lord, what does it say? That more that's given to you, what does it say? More is required. So much had been given to Zechariah, more was required of him. None of us should want to stay on spiritual milk, as it says in Hebrews. Every one of us who sits in these seats Sunday after Sunday, you're a leader in this house. And one day this place is going to be packed, and one day there are going to be multiple services. Not because we're great, because we're going to emulate to what the Spirit of God wants to do in our services. And I believe that just like what that young girl they encountered yesterday, I got to have what you want have. That's what the world is out there sitting and looking and waiting for. So Mary goes, how can this be? I'm a virgin. Now, what he's getting ready to tell her, she didn't learn in the Nazareth health class of how a man and woman, a husband and wife, birth a child. She didn't get this. And the angel goes, well, let me tell you how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come and overshadow you. In other words, the birth of miracles is happening. And now that spirit that hovered her, guess what? Where does it live now? In you and I. Church, we've been created to carry miracles. So the Holy Spirit hovered her. That's what the angel's saying. The Holy Spirit will hover you. You're going to get pregnant in that way. You're going to give birth to this child of God. Church, it's time to really understand the ways that the Spirit of God communicates is not going to be the way that you've been taught and trained in a lot of ways. Again, back to her little Nazareth ninth grade health class. She wasn't told that that's the way you get pregnant. Church, it's time to mature up and know that we've got to talk to the Spirit of God in His language. Just like Nicodemus, the Pharisee, comes to Jesus. Man, in John 3, we really see a lot of cool things you're doing. How do you do this? Well, you can't see the kingdom and you can't do this unless you be born again. Now, what does a Pharisee know? He knows every word of the first five books of the Bible. Born again, how does a man go back in his womb? The Spirit of God will say things to you that your brain will not be able to figure out. And only through spirit-to-spirit time and understanding will you know these things. Amen? I wish I could talk more on that, but I'm going to finish up quickly. As she hears what the angel says, she goes, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Church, it's time that some of us, no, all of us, on all of our prophetic words we've ever gotten over our lives, make this declaration today. Lord, even though I haven't seen it, I am your servant. And I believe those words are true and active, and they're going to come to pass. Here's one last thing I encourage you to do. Sometimes you still need to have some faith builder. What does it say next in verse 39? It says, after a few days of Mary's encounter with the angel, she had to head off to see if Elizabeth was really pregnant. They didn't have text messaging. They didn't have email. They didn't have all that stuff. She has to go see it with their eyes because she can't pick up a cell phone and call and say, Elizabeth, are you pregnant? They didn't have mail that was delivered to their houses. You got to go see. Church, I want to invite you in this season. You hang around people who walk in a measure of faith that's higher than yours. She was carrying her child. She's 6 months pregnant. You need to be around people who are higher in hope, revelation, and faith in God's promises. If you hang around people that are always even with you or below, guess where they will suck you down to not believe in your breakthrough. Hang around people who believe in breakthroughs. Hang around people who are above you in hope and faith and the revelation of Him. Because that's what Mary did. She goes, and I love how the interaction of the Spirit of God, she walks into the house. And Elizabeth goes, again, none of them know. They don't know that they're just having this interaction. And all of a sudden, Mary goes, hello, Elizabeth. I don't know exactly how it goes, but I figured something like that. Shalom, it might have been. Yeah, shalom. I looked at Wendy Kay and I listened to you. I'm your disciple. She goes, shalom. And all of a sudden, the prophecy over John the Baptist 6 months earlier by the angel is being fulfilled because Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and in such a powerful way, she understands the miracle in her womb, and it says that the baby, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb. And all of a sudden, Elizabeth is interacting with the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, Elizabeth starts declaring, "How blessed are you, for you are the mother that carries the Son of the living God." Again, there's no text messaging. There's no email. It's only by spirit to spirit this is going on that they know these things. Church, I want to invite you at the end, from this day forward to end out the year and into 2012, we would hunger and thirst after revelation from the Spirit of God. So after Elizabeth shares all this stuff, all of a sudden Mary starts singing Mary the Magnificent. And I won't break it out in a song for you. It would really ruin the service. But she starts declaring the greatness of God. She was created to carry miracle. You and I, because the Spirit of God lives and dwells within us, we've all been created to carry. I'm going to go for a million or trillion miracles that God would use me for. If you just want to believe in one, step up to the plate for that one. I want to go and meet people that used to know how I was unredeemed. I can't wait for my next high school reunion. I haven't been back for a few. And when some of them find out, "You're a pastor, how in the bleep, 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 bleep are you a pastor?" That's what I get. Because that's how I used to talk, and that was the language that we all knew among one another. Just like what Randa said about that young lady yesterday. I can get out of this life. You need to have a revelation today, this moment, that you are created for miracles. Because the world is longing. As it says in Romans, creation is longing, moaning, and groaning for the sons and daughters of God to rise up. Let's stand. I'm going to pray over us and we're going to go. Father, I thank you that you've created us to be people that carry miracles, that it's a lifestyle, that with you, Lord, there is nothing impossible. God, we thank you that the same Spirit that hovered over Mary and gave the first greatest miracle of all times to the face of the earth 2,000 years ago lives and dwells within us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to remove all the debris and veils that are keeping us from seeing you as the great miracle and keeping us from knowing that we were created to carry miracles. God, release miracles to marriages. Release miracles to relational issues. Release miracles to physical issues, emotional issues, financial issues, Lord. For you are the God of miracles, and we honor you today as the only God of miracles. And we thank you that we carry these miracles to the world now for your glory and honor. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.